you have your Bibles, open with me to Acts chapter 22. While you're turning there, I know I need to probably, there was a device on the video that some of you younger people may not have recognized. Back in the 1900s, we had a device that would type out letters called a typewriter. And so I know you may not recognize that. But anyway, today we are going to, as you saw in the video, we are going to discuss evangelism. What does it mean to share the gospel? What does it mean to talk about Jesus Christ? You see, we are good at sharing about events in our life. We're good about sharing of things that we experience, that we like. I mean, you can't purchase an item now without finding a review about it, whether someone likes it or and we're really good about telling about things we don't like, right? And maybe you haven't, maybe even in the last couple of days, you've experienced conversations about who someone voted for, whether or not they watched the Mike Tyson fight, whether or not they their plans for Thanksgiving, maybe they've seen a good movie, ate a good steak. You see, people are tell about the things that they enjoy. But for whatever reason, somewhere along the line in our culture, within our Christian culture, we have taken the very commands of God, which is to be, to go and to proclaim or to go and make disciples, and we have made them as, instead of the Great Commission, we've made them the Great Suggestion. And that is not the case at all. And so today, what I want to attempt to do is to give us tools that maybe we can use, give us challenges, maybe open our eyes to see the very promises of God that He has given us and called us to a task and to a mission, but He has given us everything needed for that mission. And so today what I want to do is I want to look at a moment in which Paul or Saul in the Word of God stood and shared about what Jesus had done in his life. And my prayer is that maybe you would be challenged to be ready and equipped to do the same when you have opportunities. We have some holidays coming up, and just the sheer name of Thanksgiving ought to give us a great ability to be able to share what we're thankful for, right? And so maybe you would gather with your family, and as you gather with your family, maybe like me, you have some family members that are, like, I have a crazy uncle. I'm just kidding. I have an uncle here, so I was giving him a hard time. You know, maybe when you gather with family, it'd be a great opportunity just to be able to share about what Jesus has done in your life, what you are thankful for. I know Lindsay's family used to do every year for Christmas. They would gather around in a big circle, and everyone would go around the circle and share what they're thankful for. And what a great opportunity then for you to be able to share about what Christ has done and how He's transformed your life. And so if you are able, if you don't mind, would you stand as we read Acts 22. Here, Saul has been brought before some religious leaders, and he has been accused of being an apostate, and so he is standing to share about what Christ has done. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are in this day. I persecuted this way to the death. This way, he's talking about those who would follow Jesus. They were considered part of the way. And so he said, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and to bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me, and said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Father, we are so grateful for your truth. We are so thankful that just like you transformed the life of Saul, you offer that same hope to me and to each person in this room and throughout the world. And so, Lord, we pray in this moment that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to see you. Open the eyes of our heart to understand where we are before you. And, Lord, I pray that we respond and make a decision to follow you with our lives. God, empower us, embolden us, give us courage to be proclaimers of your greatness. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Saul here has stood before some leaders, and now you need to know the context of this situation is that these leaders are leaders who have sent out Saul and others to go and to persecute the way, those who would follow Jesus. And now he is standing before them, giving an account to what Jesus has done in his life. And so here it is at the risk of imprisonment and even at the risk of death that he stands and proclaims this. Now, you and I here in our culture will more than likely not stand in moments at the stake or the potential of being killed or arrested, though that's we will definitely experience some sort of persecution. Maybe it would hurt a relationship. Maybe even that people would look down upon us or question us, whatever the case may be. But here you need to understand that as Saul stood, he could face imprisonment and even death. And as Paul would later write much of the New Testament, we read in Romans chapter 1 that Paul stands and he says this, something that is a great statement that he said, I will not be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power unto Christ. It is the power unto salvation. It is the power of Christ unto salvation. Amen? And so this gospel, this good news, in a miraculous way, in the work of the Spirit, opens the eyes of people to where they see. They see their need. And now listen, there is much debate as to how all of that works and when it does. And listen, I'm not going to get off into all that. But what I just want to say is that we can see that God is at work. Now, here in this story, Paul, or Saul, actually lays out a couple of things that are happening in the midst of his testimony. But before we get there, a couple of things I just want to lay down for us. First off is the mission is clear. We have a mission as a church. It is to connect people to Jesus. And now, I want to remind you that that mission is not just for those who would stand here and preach. It is for every one of us, because you are the church. This is just a building. It is a gathering place, and that is all this is. You are the church. And when we say amen here in just a little bit, you will be sent out into this world as the church with the mission. Are you ready? The church will leave the building. And as the church, you will go and you will be a part of that mission, or you will choose not to. Whatever the case. But it is your choice. And you've been given a very clear mission. And the commission is to go. It is to go and to share about what Christ has done in you. It is to go and to share about who you used to be, what Christ has done, and now who you are with a brand new direction of life. Now, maybe for some of us that hasn't yet happened. And so the prayer is that today you would listen, that you would ask questions, and the prayer is that you would respond to the very truth of the gospel. And so let's dive in. First off, I want to remind us of is that when Jesus called his very first followers, he told them, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," already casting on them the mission that they will have. This mission will be to go and to proclaim. It will be to seek and to save the lost, the very mission that Jesus had himself. "As the Father has sent me," he says in John 20, "so I send you." We are sent. This is why at the end of every service, or most services, I will say, "Church, you are sent. You are sent by the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Go and make him known." It's because we are bearers of hope. And in being bearers of hope, we should always be ready to give a defense for the hope that we have. Amen? I love Paul writes to Timothy, and he tells him that he just needs to be ready two times in life, in season and out of season. And so we need to be prepared every day, in season and out of season. Before we dive in completely, I want to remind you, we have a mission, but we also have a ministry. In Paul's letter to 2 Corinthians, he helped the people to see that because of their belief in Jesus, they've been made new. And in being made new, or being reconciled to God, they now have a ministry of reconciliation. I'll read it to you. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, having believed in Jesus, been made new, transformed, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." These girls up here in the baptistry, as they went under the water, they're saying the old me is gone. The old gentry has died. And now the new gentry, the one to live for Jesus, is here. Paul would go so far as to say that "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." This is the call. "And so, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself and now gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He has entrusted us with a message, and it's a message of hope. It's a message that's good. It's good news. We're not telling anyone bad news. We're telling them good news. Amen? And so, we are called to be ambassadors. Throughout life, we will have people, maybe even other church members, maybe in our family, who will come to us and tell us something they're going through. Maybe they're going through a hard time, a trial. Maybe there's health concerns. And a lot of times we make statements, and I think they're great intentioned, but we'll say things like, "Well, I'll pray for you." Or maybe sometimes they'll blatantly ask, "Hey, will you pray for me?" And we'll say, "Yes, I'll be praying for you." But I want to give you a challenge. The next time either you want to be a part of someone's life, instead of saying, "I will," say, "Can I right now?" And in that moment, call upon the God who can do all things. Call upon them in their presence to do things, because here's what happens. When God hears our prayers and many times answers those prayers, it will point back to that moment. That moment in time in which you gathered them before the Lord Almighty and he heard you. And he'll show them that he is a God who is with us. He's not just a distant God. No, no, no. He's right here with us. And so you have a ministry. All right? Let's make sure you're awake. Say, "I have a ministry."
I have a ministry.
That was weak. Say, "I have a ministry." Yeah, you have a ministry. It's a ministry. If you've been reconciled to Jesus, like brought back into this right relationship because of what Jesus has done upon the cross, he has given you a ministry of reconciliation. And it's a ministry that he equips us in and prepares us. And so, let's see how Saul here shared it. Okay, he shared his story. He shared this story about what Jesus had done. And so in that, it was man, it was powerful. Again, we don't need any intense training in this, right? Because we're great at proclaiming things we experience. Movie. Some of you post pictures of your food. It's so weird. But you do. Like, here, I'm going to go get it now because it looks good on a plate. I mean, I don't know. But, we don't need any special training. But what we do need is to realize that God is usually at work. When He lays something upon your heart, He's already at work. And so Saul just shared with you his story, and he mentioned Ananias. I want to point out for a second, Ananias, this is all found in Acts chapter 9. Great story, but you can go and follow the whole story of Saul's conversion. Well, Ananias is spending time with the Lord, and the Lord tells him to go to a house on Straight Street, and he goes over there, or the Lord tells him to, and he says that there's a man named Saul there. Now, Ananias kind of argues with God a little bit here, and he says, no, now I've heard stories about that guy. He's been arresting people. I even heard he has letters to come and arrest people here, but he ultimately is obedient. He had no idea, except what God had told him, that he had already spoken to Saul. And he was obedient. By him going, God was already at work in the life of Saul. When he reaches there, he prays for him. Saul can now see, man, and he's able to share with him the very word of God. Now listen, when God speaks to your heart, maybe put someone on your mind or upon your heart, and you go and you proclaim, you have no idea what God has already been doing in their lives. When I was 16 and a friend of mine invited me to a Bible study, he had no idea that God had already brought me to this place where I was very curious. I had saw the things of life and just in situations, and I had seen that there was a path that I didn't want to go down, but there was this other path that I saw some going down, and so I was curious. And so when he invited me, I was ready to say, yes, I'll go. And then in going here in the gospel, man, God opened my eyes. My life was changed forever. And so now, when we look at the testimony of Saul here, look at a couple of things. First off that you'll see is the life before Jesus. Here he mentioned, I was born, I was a part of this, I was a Jew, I studied under the most notable rabbi that there was, and all of these things he was able to list to these people. This was his life before Jesus. I persecuted the people of the way. I was right there as they stoned Stephen. I mean, this was his life before Jesus. Now, maybe like Lindsay, you, my wife, she gave her life to the Lord as a young child. Maybe you would like, I don't have much to say about my life before Jesus because I was young. Thank God for that, right? You had people who brought you or shared with you when you were young. Man, you rejoice in that. But you can speak about who you were biblically. And what I mean by that is you can say, I was separated from God. I was a sinner. I was deserving of the very wrath of God. But one day, and then share about how you encountered Jesus. Because that's what Paul did. Second thing is this life-changing encounter. This life-changing encounter that happened. I was walking along the road. I was going to do some religious things, right? I mean, this is what Paul was saved out of. He was saved out of religious activity, right? And so he was going to do some religious things, but then Jesus met him upon the road. Jesus asked a pretty interesting statement. Why are you persecuting me? We have no evidence that Saul ever actually met Jesus in person. I mean, maybe he was a part of those religious leaders that Jesus was dragged before. Maybe he was there crying, crucify. I mean, we don't really know. But it's pretty interesting that Jesus here identified himself with the church. As you and I have been crucified with Christ and raised to new life, we're to now live as Christ. We're to allow the Christ, Jesus in us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be lived out in our lives. We're to look like Jesus. And here Jesus identified himself with the church. Why are you persecuting the church? No, he said, why are you persecuting me? You see that? Had this encounter. Paul had no doubt that Jesus had risen from the dead. He had no doubt that this was the awaited Messiah. He had no doubt that Jesus was who he said that he was because he encountered him. Amen? And so for you, when was that? Has that happened? Have you encountered Jesus? Third thing we see is that now there was a new direction. There was a new purpose. There was a new life that now that he would live. And so for you and for me, as we share our story, we talk about who we were before Christ. I was lost. I was separated. I was a sinner. Maybe you can point to a clear direction. I ran after the things of this world. I thought that I could get happiness. I thought that money or finances would bring the stability that I wanted. I thought all of that. I met Jesus. He changed my life. Now I have a completely new direction. Now here's what I live for. I don't care about the things of the world. I want to pursue and seek after the kingdom of God and all the other things. Look, we believe and trust they'll come right into place. And so we talk about this new life. Saul here was able to say, talk about his new life is that he would go, he would be sent to the Gentiles, that he would be one that would be in the very will of God. And so Ananias, when he came, he talked to him about that. He says that you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. He talked about how he followed in baptism and how he ran after and was obedient. And so the same would be true for us. If you've believed in Jesus, follow him, trust him, be obedient. You see, we a lot of times just want to add Jesus to our life and just continue to live the life we want to. That's not what he's called us to. He's called us to die to ourselves and then live the life that he wants us to live. And in that, he's given us some very clear commands. Go, make disciples of all nations. Go, be proclaimers of his excellencies. And there is much we can proclaim about, right? He is so good. Real quick, I have a video, a three-minute video, that I want you to see of someone going to the streets, much like Ray Comfort did, and talking to this guy. But I want you to see, this is an easy way to share the gospel. I'm visual, so I love how it keeps you focused. But I want you to see, there are kids to adults, from all sorts of different drawing capabilities you're going to see, but yet God uses each one of them. Watch this video.
Has anyone showed you the three circles before?
Have you heard of
three circles before?
Has anyone ever shared
the three circles with you
before?
No.
No. So this is the first circle. So this represents the world that's broken.
All of us live in a broken world.
You only have to turn on the news and see
suffering, death,
war, sickness,
rape, disease. It's everywhere, right?
But you know, God didn't actually create the world to be like this, full of brokenness, eh? Here's the second circle.
This circle represents God's perfect design.
God's perfect design was a world without brokenness.
A world full of love,
full of joy and peace, yeah, and unity.
But what we did was we sinned.
Sin could be anything from lying to murder.
Wait, so like just like normal lying or like hard lying?
And what sin did, it separated us from God's perfect design and threw us into brokenness.
And so people try all kinds of different things to get out of brokenness. They might try drugs or alcohol.
Or maybe chasing a career or money.
Smoking.
Even bullying other people at school.
Oh, sleeping suicide. Around. Suicide, exactly. Good example. But it doesn't actually fix the problem of brokenness.
It's like a bungee cord. We just get snapped straight back into brokenness.
And ultimately, if people die in that state of brokenness, they're separated from God, and that means that that's eternal separation from God.
Do you know what this place is often called? Yes.
So what God did was, he didn't want to leave us in that place.
God loved us so much that he sent
his son Jesus to die on the cross.
Jesus was God, so yes. He had no sin. And when he died and rose again, he actually took on all of our sin and canceled it, like he crushed it.
He said if we would turn away from our sin and believe in Jesus and make Jesus
the Lord of our life, we become restored
back into God's original design.
And you become a new creation, a new person in Christ.
And will restore us back into relationship with him. So there's only two kinds of people in this world, people that are in brokenness or God's perfect design. Where would you see yourself?
Probably right there, to be honest.
This circle.
I'm the
circle.
Love.
Brokenness.
Possibly love.
The bungee stage.
Yeah, the same. And where would you
like to
be? So where would you like to be?
Like
you'd like to be here?
Yeah.
right there.
Give me a look. This star circle.
One with God.
So here? So is there anything that's stopping you
from turning and believing in Jesus?
And allow him to be Lord and King of your life?
Stubbornness?
Probably not.
Probably we, to be honest.
Nothing's stopping me.
You know the awesome news about Jesus? He is the only way out.
If you try to clean yourself up before coming to Jesus, it's like trying to get clean before you take a shower.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get that.
Is there anything stopping you?
We shared the three circles with 34 people. Four were already believers. 13 chose to remain in brokenness, but some were deeply impacted. And 17 wanted to leave brokenness and receive Christ. There are many powerful ways to share the gospel, and the three circles is a great place to start.
I love that video because it's people from all ages. I think that so many times we think about sharing about what Jesus has done in our life, and we immediately have excuses like, well, I can't do that, or I'm not skilled. And I want to remind you that even as some of the disciples were brought before religious leaders, the religious leaders walked away realizing that these were uneducated men. But yet they took note that they had been with Jesus. You see, when we surrender our life to the Lord, the promise, this is the promise, is that the Holy Spirit would come and the Holy Spirit would embolden us. The Holy Spirit would give us courage. The Holy Spirit would help us to have courage, even in the face of fear. Listen, every single command, everything that the Lord would lead us to do, there's going to be an element of fear. But the promise is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. The promise is that He'll give us words to say or to share, and so we can trust Him. The three circles is great because it allows you to stay focused. It allows you to go, okay, what's next? And then, okay, I need to point to Jesus. Okay, what's next? Okay, I become new. Okay, then you see it just keeps you focused. It's not about the picture. It's about the good news about what Jesus has done. A lot of Sundays, if you pay attention, I share, just because it keeps me focused, about one hope. And you see, I just have to remember four things. One, that there is one God. He is good, He's perfect, He's holy. He created all of us. But there's a problem. There's one problem, and that problem is that you and I are sinners. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. What Ray Comfort did in the very first video is he brought the guy to understand that even though he's a good person, that one day he's going to stand before God and that he has failed, right? He's a liar, he's a thief, he's an adulterer of heart. That seems harsh, but sometimes people will just assume they're a good person, and so you might have to help them a little bit. And so he brought him. You see, there's a problem. We're going to stand before this holy God, but we're not holy. Feel the weight of that. In the three circles, they would ask the people, well, which circle are you in? Well, I'm still in this brokenness circle over here. Man, if I die still in this broken, I'm going to spend eternity separated from God. There's a problem. But there's one hope, and that hope is in Jesus. God sent Jesus to come and to die upon the cross. And in dying upon the cross, He paid the price for your sin and for my sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. He paid for that. And there's hope, and that hope is only in Jesus. We put our faith and our trust in Him. We repent of our sin. We believe that He is God, and we make Him Lord, meaning that He has the right. His way is going to be better than our way. You see, we're going to be lied to throughout this world, but it is the truth of what Jesus came to do that will lead us toward holiness. It will lead us to live the life that He's called us to live. And then the last thing is there's one decision. There's a decision that each one of us make. Are we going to make Jesus Lord of our life, or are we going to continue to live life the way I think is best? Are we going to continue to live life separated from God? And so today, it is my challenge to you to think through. Thanksgiving is coming up. Family is going to be gathered. Or maybe this week as you go to work, you're going to have coworkers and maybe clients, and conversations are going to come. In those conversations, Are you going to choose to allow the Holy Spirit in you to be proclaimers of who God is? Will you share your story? Who you were before Christ, how you had this life-changing encounter, what your new direction and hope is in life. Will you share the gospel? Will you grab a piece of paper or sometimes a napkin like I've done in restaurants and be able to help the person to see? Look at the brokenness of our world. You don't have to look very far to see that. But you know, God didn't design it that way. But we've sinned against Him. We're broken. We're deserving of His wrath, but He loves us. Sent Jesus to come. If I repent and believe in Him, I can be a new creation. And so, I want to challenge you. Think, in the way of application, will you pray for someone that needs to hear the good news? Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family member. Will you right now acknowledge them to the Lord? Lord, I want to pray for this person. Acknowledge them before the Lord, because we're a people, as soon as we're going to leave out of here, we're going to think of something else. But man, if I'll acknowledge it, maybe write it down, write someone down, I want to pray for this person that they will come to know the Lord. Would you commit to learning or practicing how to share your testimony or the gospel? For some of us, you've never shared your testimony, so it might be helpful for you to sit down with a piece of paper and just those three things: before Christ, how I came to know Jesus, the new life that I have now. In just those three sections, you'd be willing to write it out. Well, before Christ, here's who I was. Here's how I came to know Him. Someone invited me, or someone shared with me, or I went to a church service, I heard, I responded. Here's my new life in Jesus. Here's what a relationship with Him looks like. Here's how He's led me and guided me in life. Or maybe it's the gospel. Maybe you would go, I can send you a link to, just shoot me a text. I can send you a link to this. You can learn how to do the three circles and walk through it. Or you can memorize those four things. There's one God, but there's one problem. That problem is sin, but there's one hope. That hope is in Jesus. Now there's a decision. Whatever the case is, that you would have a way in which you can share and proclaim the hope that is found in Jesus. What is one thing that you can do to start building relationship with those who are far from God? So many times we, in our Christian walk, we can just start to hang out with other Christians and may not even know unbelievers, or at least don't build relationships with them. You may have a neighbor, a friend. Maybe if you have kids, your kids are in sporting activities. What a great way to meet some other parents. Invite them over, befriend them, love them. Share with them about what Christ has done. Invite them to be a part of your faith family. You see, we can start to get to know and befriend and love. And then last thing is, today, there's one decision. And maybe that decision is a decision you need to make. And maybe if you've already trusted in Christ, maybe the next step is to be obedient. And I would challenge you to start with baptism. He commands us to be baptized. And even Saul, he was like, hey, immediately go and be baptized. One of my favorite stories is found in Acts 8, where there's Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch. God says, hey, go down this street, and he goes down there. God has already been at work in this guy. He's reading from one of the prophets, the very passage that talks about Jesus coming, and the guy says, hey, do you not understand what you're reading? He says, how can I? Who's going to tell me? Someone tell me. And he's like, oh, this is why God wanted me to walk this way, right? And the guy said, there's water. Why should I not be baptized after hearing the gospel? Following, trusting. For some of us as believers, we just need, honestly, we just need to pick up our big girl panties and say, okay, you've given me a mission. And that mission is hard, and it requires me to proclaim, but you're right here with me. And so I'm going to decide. I'm going to make the decision. I am going to proclaim you. And so I'm going to be ready in season and out. Lord, show me. Give me the opportunity, because you are that good. You are worthy. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we love you. We are so thankful for your word. We are grateful for the hope that you have given us. Help us to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. I pray for those who are here today. Lord, maybe today their eyes have been opened to see that they are a sinner. They have maybe just added Jesus to their life, but have never surrendered to you and believed you and trusted you. I pray that today they make that decision. that they respond, that they make that public, they make that known, that they respond in that way. So, Lord, give them strength and courage to do that. I pray for others, believers here in this room, Lord, that you would give us a courage. Help us to decide and be ready to proclaim you to this lost world. Help us to go and choose to be the light in the midst of darkness. And so, God, we love you. We need you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.